The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Hart Franklin from ISO on Movies, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 189. It's the WrestleMania Review installment. Just 2 weeks ago, I was joined by my pro wrestling pundits as we sat down and discussed what we thought might happen at the Showcase of the Immortals. And indeed, time has passed. 2 weeks ago was WrestleMania 35. A lot of stuff has happened. So I've invited again back to the PVD Cast DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, aka my pro wrestling pundits, and we're going to discuss what went on at that epic event. In fact, you know, since it's been a couple of weeks, they've pushed some storylines ahead in the WWE, and they've also kind of shaken up the lineups by doing the Superstar Shakeup this past week. So we're going to discuss all of that here on this episode. And so I know it's going to be a little bit of a long one, so I'm going to cut this intro kind of short. In fact, I'm going to get right into the pressing business of reminding you that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every era: Golden Era, Silver Era, Bronze Era, and even the Modern Era. They also have, of course, graphic novels, toys, various collectibles, and even comic book supplies. So stop on over to the store and say hello to Jeff and the fine folks over there at World's Greatest Comics. Or if you're a little bit lazy, you don't want to leave the house, well, you can find them online, wgcomics.com, or they're even on Facebook, facebook.com/wgcomics, and you can check out their excellent catalog. All right, with that then, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'm joined by DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand as we talk WrestleMania 35. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by the pro wrestling pundits. DJ Joey Blaze, how are you this evening?
What you call pundit?
Huh?
Nothing. I got real good. All right.
Where you go? Call me a pundit again. Go ahead.
One more time.
One more time.
I double dog dare you. No, that's a whole other movie.
Ringside Rand, how are you?
I don't like being redacted in public.
Oh, well, who does? Who does?
Well, it's been a day of redaction, hasn't it?
Oh, it certainly has.
Who's asking?
but we're not going to redact any of our predictions. The predictions we made a couple weeks ago, here on the WrestleMania 35 preview show.
That was my whole point.
Yes, I got gotcha.
I'm proud of one of mine.
As you should be, So here we go. Let's break down what happened at WrestleMania, and then also talk a little bit about some of the things that have happened post WrestleMania. I like to call it the fallout. So I'm gonna go in the order that I have my notes here. So we started off the pre-show with Tony Nese picking up the victory for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship over Buddy Murphy. And what I thought was a really good match.
Oh, it's a solid match. Tony's definitely a great worker. It's nice to, you know, a lot of people were predicting Buddy Murphy to kind of hold on to it. And it was nice to see it switch hands. And as we'll talk more about Buddy Murphy, I'm sure here a little bit later on, it's leading to some different things. So, yeah, I enjoyed the match.
Ran?
Mistered en route to the
Festivities,
yes.
Well, you missed a heck of a match because it was pretty darn good, and those guys can go, so that certainly was no surprise. I was surprised that they put the belt on Tony Nese. I was one of those ones that picked Buddy Murphy to retain, but
they obviously had different plans.
Yeah, obviously, and we'll talk a little more about that later on. Let's move into the Women's Battle Royal. Or as I've been jokingly referring to it as, the Wendy Richter Battle Royal.
I would like to see it called that too.
Okay. 17 women. That's what my notes say.
Is that what the total number was?
Yeah.
That's kind of random and strange.
It is very random.
It's an odd number.
It is an odd number.
It's a prime number.
Is it? I'm not a mathematician, so.
Obviously, ringside is. Not to be confused with an Optimus Prime number, just a regular Prime number.
There you go. Always learning new stuff about Ringside Rand. Always.
Indeed. Pony up.
Carmella won the Women's Battle Royal by eliminating Sarah Logan last. So
it was definitely some surprise. Like, I was surprised they were the last two.
I agree.
Definitely surprised by that. And Carmella getting the nod. That just shows you they want to still kind of give her the rub without putting a title on her. So
yeah,
she
I
just
agree.
Put that on her, and she could say claim she's won that. Now she's won Money in the Bank. She's won a title. She's won the Battle Royal. Just adds to her accolades. Well, she's in the shadow of the three main stars right now in the women's divisions.
Right. Did you also miss this as well, Rand?
Yes. Okay. And I think she's further down than three. I think there's probably six or seven ahead of her.
Really. Because I'm going to say, I think obviously the top three and probably Ruby Riott, and then I would say maybe Carmella would fit in at that fifth slot if you're looking at main talent for the women's division.
Well, they brought up Kairi Sane, for example, but she might have more accomplishments, but I don't think she's as...
sound in the ring, as savvy?
Yes.
She's not as ring savvy? Oh, yes. I'm just talking about where they have her, if they were to have a power rankings. Carmella's definitely in the top five.
On the marquee, yeah. Yes.
When you said power rankings, all I could think about is the ones in the back of the PWIs every issue where you were looking to see who's number one in the NWA, who's number one in the WWF, who's number one in the AWA.
Now this date in Puerto Rico, Bruiser Brody got stabbed. Later on in the card, Tony Atlas wrestled the Iron Sheik.
You know what?
That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, for the listeners at home, DJ Joey Blaze and I were talking about, we watched Dark Side of the Ring, which is a fantastic documentary series on Viceland. They did a episode on the murder of Bruiser Brody.
It probably helps that we're both marks for Brody. Anyways,
it is.
I'm sure that definitely helped the subject. Like, if you gave two shits about it, then you probably wouldn't care. But
when you know me, I'm that fucking WCCW mark. So
that is. That's his
there's
new
that. thanks for that nickname, by the way, DJ Joey Blaze. I'm going to just run that in the ground. I'm going to get it on business cards.
Why not?
Anyways, okay, here was a big surprise and a match that we did not get a chance to discuss because it wasn't announced till the Monday, I believe, before Mania. We had the Revival putting the WWE Raw tag team titles on the line against Hawkins and Ryder. In a unique twist, the belts go with the former Major Brothers, of course, Ryder and Hawkins.
Yeah, that threw me for a loop. I wouldn't have predicted that one at all. Like, I'm not one of many 42-year-old men that are marks for Zack Ryder, but I'm a Zack Ryder mark, and I was happy just because of the story of their careers and how they got there, but put some money into the bowl at Rand's, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you take that off the Revival? And we're going to talk about another tag team title that changed hands. It didn't make any sense here later on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But why would you do that to them when they're doing it justice?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was something that we'd maybe see like a follow-up on Raw where they would drop it right back, and they didn't, which was really weird to me as well. But we'll see where it goes with the shakeup and whatnot.
Red?
I thought it was like a career achievement WrestleMania moment.
For Ryder.
For Hawkins. Yeah, I'd say for Hawkins. Ryder's already had his moment.
Yeah. Right.
Were they the two edge heads?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think it was a curveball, no doubt, coming out of left field. I personally thought the match was okay. I didn't think the match was as good as it could have been. But overall, it was a surprise, and I guess that's what they were going for here on the pre-show.
Serviceable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was serviceable. Now to the final match on the pre-show. It's the 30-man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Braun Strowman is your winner. He eliminated Colin Jost last. I think this was a bad match. This was just bad. Oh, Battle Royals are never 5-star classics, but this man, woo, negative 5 stars. Rand?
It's really hard to have an actual wrestling match with two guys from Saturday Night Live or two non-wrestlers. I do give major props coming out in Giants Stadium wearing an Odell Beckham Cleveland Browns jersey.
Well, that's classic GP right yeah, there. That's, I love that. Yeah, being from New York, too, that was that was cool. I popped for it. Here's the thing. Here's my problem with it. Whenever you have a battle royal like this, usually there's like maybe one or two guys that really get themselves over in the battle royal, eventually getting eliminated and creating more of a story for him down the road. And it just seemed like all this was for was for Strowman and my dudes from SNL. That was the spot on the card. So it was almost like they were throwing away the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which I actually enjoy. Like, I've enjoyed it every year. Like, the year that Cesaro won, it was very cool. And it's something that they can build stars off or build storylines off of, and they kind of threw it away. And I really wasn't into that at all.
It's kind of hard to have actual wrestling when you have that many people in the ring at once.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I think you can still use Battle Royals to build people. As a matter of fact, I've said this for the last year. Why is that not a title to be defended? You know what I mean? Like, think back in the 80s. Wahoo McDaniel was the master of the Indian strap match. Never lost one, right? You know, Andre the Giant, well, they always mentioned how he was dominant in all the battle royals that he was in. And it was his match as well. Why not do that, that throughout the year, the winner has to get involved in battle royals and defend that title?
First of all, China was the master of the American strap-on match. I don't think she's ever lost one of those. But no, I totally agree. Like, there's the battle royal. Like, it should be a title. Well, when he won the one overseas, they actually had a strap for him and everything.
Was it the greatest Royal Rumble?
The greatest Royal Rumble. They had a strap and everything. So yeah, they should have something like that, and maybe that make that his gimmick for a while because he's an obscurity. Who are you going to put up against? He doesn't have a good storyline. Right. We're just going to bring in random people from TV now to fight him because we don't want to put it...
Well, because they pissed away everything that they had with Strowman. Let's just be honest. Oh, they pissed it away.
Several times.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So much momentum gone. Every time. Right.
I totally agree. But nonetheless, he wins. And he is your Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal
winner.
Was I
allowed to say strap on?
Sure.
Okay. You can... And you just did twice.
Yeah.
So. Oh, okay. All right,
by asking me if you could say that.
What about Vincent McMahon? Or is that just at the Hall of Fame where they can't say Vince McMahon?
I guess that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. So now, I don't know how much truth is behind this, but I heard that our very first match that was kicked off WrestleMania 35 was moved up because of fear of the crowd being dead in its original slot. And that, of course, I'm talking about Seth Rollins beating Brock Lesnar for the WWE Universal Championship. That's the rumor that has been floated around out there, that it was lower on the card and they were worried that there would be no pop whatsoever for it.
I had heard, and this is from my agents who went to New Jersey, that Mr. Lesnar did not like his position. He wanted to be last. And the whole buildup for months had been, this is groundbreaking, the women are going to be last. And if he couldn't be last, he wanted to leave. So they moved the match up early, and he leaves by helicopter during the show.
Is it the same one that Charlotte came in on?
It's a shovel.
Oh. Well, no, I could see that. Lesnar's just a big baby, and he thinks everybody should be kissing his feet. Actually, with that being on that spot of the card, I enjoyed the match more than I would have anywhere else on the show.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I think that was a genius move.
For whatever reason, the truth be known, whoever came up with that idea, that is brilliant.
If Lesnar was being a little bitch, well, thank you, because you made me like that match way better than I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Seth should have gotten over more, but it was a quick match.
If you land four of his finishers, that's getting over pretty damn well. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Well, if you're using a finisher who was originally banned and you're able to do it four times to Lesnar, I think you got over pretty well.
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, I'm never against this. I've never been against this. You know, talking about the position of that match on the card, the old WCW, put out something hot right out of the gates, get the people into it. I've never been against that. I think that's the smartest way to book any type of wrestling event, is get something out there that's going to get people drawn in. You know what I mean? So if people were going to automatically be into this match, I say brilliant move. Again, whoever made that decision, way to go.
I'm glad the part-timer is gone.
Yeah.
For how long, though?
Yes.
For how long?
The look of disgust. The look of disgust on your face is priceless. all right, moving into what I thought was a really, really good match. AJ Styles defeated Randy Orton. I thought this match was pretty darn good.
I'm glad first of all, I'm glad they made this match, and I think we kind of alluded to it going leading into this when we talked about it when we were previewing it. A match like this and a worker like AJ brings out the best in Randy.
Yes.
Randy's gotten really lazy lately, in my opinion, and with a lot of different things, and you know, because they haven't had another really great storyline for him. You know, but maybe it's a little bit of him, maybe it's him, whatever. But I wish it's something we could have seen continue personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, sometimes stuff continues after Mania when it's not going to now because of the shakeup. But I enjoyed the match for sure. Well, yeah, I was definitely.
It looks like Randy's gotten lazy, but they try to spin it like he's the Viper coiled and ready to spring out. But it really looks like he's gotten lazy.
I don't think he's gotten lazy because of the part of where on the card they've put him in the. And you know the storylines they put him in.
Lack of motivation.
Here's the thing. He's not the indie darling. He's not the hot thing. And he's a legend now. And he's gonna there's a lot of hate out there for him for who he is because he speaks his mind. But he's still Randy freaking Orton, and he deserves to have some sort of really steady storyline. In my opinion, I know he gets injured a lot, this, that, and the other, but whatever. No, he's probably lazy because he's a product of his environment.
Right, yeah. I mean, how do you motivate somebody to go out there when they're stuck with shitty storylines and whatnot? And, you know, I agree with that. I think, though, that this match was pretty darn good. Maybe top three of the night?
I would agree.
So
I can see that.
Yeah. All right, so then we move on to the Fatal 4-Way for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. You have the Usos taking on, of course, Nakamura and Rusev, taking on The Bar, taking on Black Ricochet. Rand, what do you think about this match? Let's go with that.
A lot of good action. At first, I was surprised that the Usos lost, but we understand why.
Well, they did not lose at Mania. They did not lose at Mania. They lost on SmackDown.
I understand why they lost their title afterwards, because they were moved from one show to the other.
Right. Yeah, sure. Which kind of was... Okay, let's just go ahead and discuss it, since we brought it into the... into the chat here, so to speak. So the Usos are victorious at WrestleMania, but then just a mere, 48 hours later?
Yeah, they dropped the title to SmackDown, and that should have been the match on the card. Should have been Hardy's and Usos, in my opinion. Throw a ladder in there. That would have been amazing. I don't know the thought process. I don't know if they're just trying to get more names on the card, which that might be it too, because you got to make all these egos happy. Because everybody's, the thing to do is asking for your release now if you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's somebody around the corner willing to pay.
Yeah.
Well.
But, you get a nice t-shirt, so whatever.
Or at least somebody has money.
So, but that's, that's, but I would have rather seen that match that happened on Tuesday night happen to me.
Yeah, right, most definitely. And what do you think, let's go ahead and just talk about it since we're talking about it, which that was a... Pretty much,
because we're
going to
talk about it.
Anyways, so Usos on Raw. Do you think that's a smart move?
Oh, the tag team division definitely need to be jumbled up. If you're not going to put the both belts together again, you definitely need to shake them up a little bit. And because I'm tired of seeing all the same matchups on SmackDown.
You mean the New Day versus The Bar and the New Day versus the Usos?
Yeah.
You're tired of that after 8 million times?
Every week.
Okay.
It sure seems like it's...
Yeah. All right, to the craziest match on the card, the Falls Count Anywhere match between The Miz and Shane McMahon. It was what we thought it was going to be, but I'll tell you this, though. I give it credit. The ending, the finish, I thought was creative.
Shane actually won a match?
Yeah, well, in the way he won it, because he had,
His
arm was on top of him, which was kind of like even though I hate when the double pin happens in the ring... But at least I thought this worked because it was he just suplexed him off the top of that trapeze thing or whatever.
Camera stand?
Camera stand is not a trapeze.
But great if it's a trapeze.
That would have been sweet.
So one of the best things this match was the amount of the Mr. Miz memes that happened and were birthed from that match with his two hands up, ready to fight. So it's so good. I'll be honest, I actually had higher expectations for this match.
Really?
Personally, because being The Miz and being Shane wanting to take crazy stuff, I thought there was going to be some crazier shit in it. Not going to lie. Like, I thought that was going to be, and I was kind of a little let down.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because Shane's getting older. I don't know what it is, but it was still decent. I liked the ending.
Yeah.
Maybe on a less crowded card, they could have done differently.
That's a good point, too. That is a very good point.
You have limited time for Falls Count Anywhere.
Right, and then you got Triple H and Batista later on that's going to, you don't want to overshadow what the hell they might do. That's a great impression.
Sorry, I started to fall asleep when you said Triple H and Batista.
Oh, I thought you were doing an impression of someone. I was going to say, what?
Five of the last six WrestleManias, Triple H has had the longest match.
Really? Okay, I'm looking that up. I'll be damned. Wow. He does. He's got it by a minute. He's got it by a minute. Kofi and Daniel Bryan went 23:45, 24:45 for Trips.
Five of the last 6 years. If you go back to other years, Triple H. What a coincidence.
Hey, I don't mind it. You're getting paid what you're getting paid, and you're doing what you do. You go ahead and just take some of that time. I'd rather work a 10-minute match. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Well,
I got to say, that Triple H-Batista match impressed the hell out of me because it didn't mean anything, and yet they worked that hard. They took that many big bumps and shots.
I agree with Rand on that one. I didn't think it was as bad as it was going to be.
Is that next? Was that the next?
No, match? It's not next, but we'll go ahead and talk about it. That actually would be almost, let's see.
That's close to the end of the
final match. Four matches. It was the fourth one on there. Look, it was better than I anticipated it to be. And it was brutal, and it was hard-hitting, and it was...
Corny.
That's
okay. Such a good word, corny. The gimmick with the whole, let's take his... You know, he wore his nose ring for a purpose. Like, called that going in there. Something's going to happen to the nose ring. That just got to be really corny and cheesy. I'm just glad Batista didn't hurt himself because I thought that was going to happen because that's what happens. Batista has dried out tendons.
When's the last time Batista wrestled and they have this big of a match?
I don't know. I just wish, I'm not sounding like myself. I'd have rather seen another match on the card. But, I mean, it was okay. It served its purpose.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was better than it was going to be. I will say that. The nose ring thing was, I thought, unique and different. Yes.
Where he's like, just like, and they got the close-ups of the face. It's like, dude, come on.
I still would have much rather have a Rocket Raccoon run in. Yeah, that would have been great. Yeah,
or Groot.
Yeah.
I would. Who would play Groot? Who could you get that would be?
Wait, Groot was Vin Diesel. Rocket was...
Who would you get to actually come out looking like Groot?
Man, just CGI the shit out of that, man. Why not? We had all those holographic jack-off stupid things during the pre-show.
I think that's the weirdest thing.
I do too. I hate those things. It was stupid.
Goes with that corniness.
Yeah. All right. If we're going back in order of the matches, the next match after Shane and The Miz was, of course, the Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Tag Team Championship. The Iconics won the belts. Rand?
I think, and this is one of the few I got right in the whole night, I called that because, to me, they're the only...
True tag team, yeah.
Natural, yeah. I mean, all the other teams are pretty much thrown together or short-term.
Well, no offense to Sean Spears, so people know him as Ty Dillinger. You know, I kind of drool a little bit over your woman out there, and I would never really intentionally hate on Peyton. But I'm kind of with Bayley and Sasha on this one. My prediction was that Natalya and Beth would win it mm-hmm. and lose it the following night because it made sense. Screw me. Put more money in the jar. You know, I shouldn't have thought that. But that's what I thought. It made the most sense. They drop it back and then you keep giving them a strong run and just took it off of them. Why even put them together?
And see, I also agreed that I thought the Boston Hug connection were going to keep the belts because longevity. Let the heels try to take the belts from... Sasha and Bayley, and what I mean heels, multiple different tag teams as heels, make them look really strong so that when it means something when they lose the belts. But
now it's almost just like it's an asterisk. Now they're the next jumping Tom Angels.
The Iconics are almost making a joke out of it. It's almost going to be funny because their gimmicks are more verbal than they are physical.
But God damn it, I got to give it to the Iconics. They are great heels.
Oh, they are.
Annoying chicken shit heels. They are so good at it. So good.
Oh, I concur.
Yeah. So it will remain to be seen what happens with the Iconics because I don't believe, have they defended the belts
yes,
yet?
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Against the Brooklyn Bells, who I took as a shot against the Bellas.
Oh, was that on SmackDown?
I think it was.
Yeah, it was on SmackDown.
It was on SmackDown this past week?
The week before.
Still in New York.
Okay. All right. Now we go to the match that, again, I didn't see this coming, but Kofi Kingston defeats Daniel Bryan for the WWE Heavyweight Championship.
Well, now
a pleasant surprise.
It was a surprise, but now that we're hearing that Daniel Bryan's injured, maybe there was something going on with him going into the match, and maybe mm-hmm. that's not... Kofi's deserving, you know,
that word's thrown around a lot. You mm-hmm. deserve it. It's chanted a lot. But Kofi's been there, done that. He's, long as he's been there, he's been the one of the Iron Men for the company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see it. I didn't see it coming either, but I wonder if that had something to play into
probably,
it maybe as well.
Probably. Rand?
I think he deserved it. It'll be interesting to see who he has matches against.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the next night is against
Rollins.
And that turned into a tag match, didn't it? Yeah.
It went Teddy Long on us, yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see who Kofi goes up against.
Because you got different pay-per-views, different shows. I don't know how long they're going to keep it on him, especially now with Roman Reigns being on the SmackDown brand. And I don't know.
If you're gonna put the belt on Reigns, I think you got to do some type of wacky 3-way, 4-way, 5-way match. I don't think it could be a straight Kofi versus Reigns match.
I don't agree with, no, but I think there's going to be somewhere that's the mm-hmm. whole plan on getting him over there so he's the champion come Fox.
Yeah, sure. You got it. In what was the most disappointing match of the evening, Samoa Joe defeats Rey Mysterio 1 minute flat. I know Rey is injured. He was banged up with an ankle, wasn't it, or knee?
Yeah,
or?
Because dickhead Baron Corbin hurt him. He got hurt in that match with Baron Corbin.
Right,
on
yeah.
Raw. But they're saying it wasn't because of the ankle, it was because of time.
What?
But here's the thing. One of the things to me, it kind of made sense because you're getting over Samoa Joe as being, you're finally giving him some momentum, but now he wasn't on TV this past week because he's sick, so where's the momentum go? So every time, you know, I kind of see why, but yeah, I would have rather seen more out of Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe put Dominic up on a pole and, you know, everybody fight over him again.
Rand?
I don't think we need to see Dominic again, but you had him out there for a reason. I mean, he wasn't at the WrestleMania, but why was he involved with the build-up? What's his...
I'm sure there's probably more supposed to go on with that match, and they had to axe it because of time.
Yeah.
And if it's because of time, and we'll talk about this when we finish up here, some of the suggestions we could do to shorten up WrestleMania, but I digress. We'll get to that in a little bit. Next up, Roman Reigns defeated Drew McIntyre in about 10 minutes. I thought the match was okay. I mean, it wasn't as... Again, this has been for me, like, it wasn't as bad as I anticipated it being with several of these matches. You know, I thought it was passable.
It's hard to have great matches when you have time limits like this. You said 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
How many great matches can you have that are 10 minutes long?
Oh, I could think of plenty. We saw a bunch of those the other night.
Yes, we did. At Ring of Honor. We'll talk. We maybe touch on that here if time permits.
But here's the thing.
WrestleMania, can you have a great 10-minute match at WrestleMania?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. But
my big thing is this is a match that could have been on Raw or SmackDown.
Yes, I agree.
This wasn't, and no offense to either one of them, it's just not, where's it at?
There was no real build-up because they
he's
started
taking
it
out the shield.
And then they kind of started it and stopped it so many times that there was no momentum behind it. So we did talk about Triple H defeated Batista. Then we then go into the singles match, Kurt Angle's farewell, as Baron Corbin defeated Kurt Angle.
Barf.
Yeah, I agree. This was second to worst match on the card. Yeah.
And both in the ring and then in the story. It sucked across the board. Like, poor Kurt, man. Seriously.
And you know what? I got to be honest, too. It was pointed out by Adam Michaels, who I was watching WrestleMania with. At points, Kurt looked like he was lost. And I don't know if that's indicative of, you know, his physical well-being or whatnot. You know, he just at points, and he was right. I kept paying real close attention. He looked like he was lost in there. So I don't know. Maybe it's perfect timing for him to call it quits, you know, but...
Or
still,
maybe that was the emotions of the moment getting to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But there were points in which he kind of didn't look like he was all there.
He can't even turn his freaking head.
Well, true. That's true. I hate to interrupt the conversation, but I'm going to remind you about today's sponsor. And I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5992 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, and various other collectibles. So stop on by the store, or if you want to check out their catalog online, you could do so by going to wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/wgcomics,
And no matter how you visit them, whether online or in person, let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics right here on the PVD Cast with yours truly, John Orlando.
And now in my notes, it wasn't listed, so I kind of wrote it in. Is this the point in the show where we see Elias? Or did that happen earlier in the show?
I think it's about then.
It's about here.
Then, yeah.
Where we have Elias coming out to sing his song, and lo and behold, old school John Cena shows up.
Not only did Elias sing, played the drums.
Yes. The piano, yes. The guitar.
First of all, if I'm Heath Slater, I'm suing for gimmick infringement because he's a one-man band.
That's right.
I loved it. My girlfriend Bridget was there. She was just kind of hanging out, but she popped for old school Cena because that's one of the, she loves that character. And the rap was great. Now, is it just a one-off, or do you think he's going to come back and do that more often now?
I don't know. That's the big question, I guess. And if so...
Haven't seen him since.
No, you haven't seen him since. And if so, you know, he kind of had a little tinge of a little bit of, like, heelish behavior in there. Is that, are we going to get the heel Cena that we've always wanted?
It'll be interesting. He just signed on to do the sequel to Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
So that was came across today. So maybe it's just going to be every now and then. We're not going to see that much of him. Yeah,
maybe. All right. Finn Balor defeated Bobby Lashley to win the Intercontinental Championship as our second to last match here at WrestleMania 35. Look, this match, at this point in the night, I'm like, I don't care. I want to get done with WrestleMania because we are now approaching the midnight hour. And I was like, let's just, I've lost all interest. We didn't get the demon, which, Jesus Christ, this is the perfect opportunity. It's WrestleMania. It's a spectacle.
Demon. Perfect occasion would have been.
He was the demon.
Was he the, no. Was
yes.
he?
Yes. Perfect occasion would have been Finn Balor beating Brock Lesnar, but.
Oh, wait. Okay, look, this is how tired I was at the time of the match. But it wasn't like the full demon, was it?
No, it was...
Like, it was half-assed demon. Why are you laughing at me, DJ Joey Blaze?
Okay. All right, yeah, it was the full demon. We were fully demonized at this point. I was exhausted, too, at this point. Like, why are we still watching this? But here's what I liked. The Intercontinental title was actually being defended at WrestleMania.
True.
How many times have we been deprived of that Mania after Mania where there's no IC challenge, there's nothing on the card, they're usually thrown in Money in the Bank or this, that, and the other. There's no defending of the title. I popped for that. I was happy for that. match was okay. I'm glad the feud's over.
Yes. And now Bobby Lashley can just go do something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Everybody can move on from that.
There you go. Including me, who obviously...
You'd already moved on before the match.
I moved on before the match because I was like, there's no demon.
Credibility, who needs that? Whatever.
Hey, man, whatevs. What can I say? Hey, that was 2 weeks ago. All right, leave me alone.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's my own podcast. I'm allowed to make a mistake here every once in a while.
That's true.
I'm not Mr. Perfect.
Even Mr. Perfect's not Mr. Perfect anymore.
True, very true. Okay, then we get to our main event. It is Becky Lynch defeating Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair to win everything. Well, not everything, but the two women's titles. So
she won my heart.
Did she? Really? You wait till she breaks it, DJ Johnny Blaze.
whatever.
So I thought the match was pretty good. The ending, the finish looked a little weird, and there had been some rumors that maybe it got botched.
Sometimes I think if we don't see it well on TV, we think it's botched.
Good point. Very good point.
And I think the camera work or the angle... wasn't quite right, and it didn't look good the way we saw it. Maybe that's why people think it was botched.
Well, the rumor was that supposedly they wanted Becky to win with a submission, but yet Vince shot that idea down because he didn't want Ronda to submit, because she's never submitted before. So they went with a pin. The other rumor is that the pin, that wasn't supposed to be the pin. They were supposed to work to something else, but people got all confused and... You know, things didn't happen quite the way it was supposed to happen, and that's why Ronda kind of got counted down. DJ
Regardless, whatever, it was a great match.
It was a great match.
It was very enjoyable. The build-up, obviously, leading into it, the build-up at the show, the entrances, everything. Kudos. I was very, very happy for those women. Heck, I might, whatever, 2019, I might even shed a tear. It was just very cool because you could feel their actual personal emotion.
Mm-hmm. And Joan Jett and the Blackhearts were there.
Yeah, she was. Did you sedate her too, Rand? Or
No, I have no connection to this okay. jet.
I thought that might be another random fact we'd find out tonight. No.
We may not my 79 Cadillac.
I don't know, whatever.
See, I can remember that, but can't remember that the demon was there. What can I say? Anyways.
You just like older women. Whatever. We all have our things we like.
Hey, there you go. Overall, what did you guys think of WrestleMania 35? If you were going to like kind of give it a grade or whatnot, what'd you think?
When you look at it, it's what used to be two pay-per-views. I mean, the length of it.
That was my suggestion. Listen, Vince could make more money. Because I think this is the only pay-per-view that you could still order through pay-per-view, right?
I believe so.
So you split it to two nights, Saturday night and Sunday night. You double your money. You could split the card up. You could still have, I mean, you could still have a three-hour show.
I think they're trying to do too much.
Yeah, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
What, 16 matches?
Yes.
Well, you ask about ratings first. I will probably give it about 3.5 body slams out of 5.
Okay, good. Okay.
I would have probably gone for the 4th, but just the length.
Yes.
The reason I do that, though, I was pleasantly surprised. I had very low expectations for it, just because of everything. It just seemed like a big clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seemed, I hate to compare it to this, but we met together doing stuff in the indies. It seemed like a very rushed together indie card. At a larger scale, in my opinion, because like, oh, let's put this guy with this guy. This will look good. And like, there wasn't, the buildup was just crap. But when it got to the show, I was pleasantly surprised. So it definitely wasn't the worst Mania, far from the best, but it was definitely, it was ended up being solid.
I agree wholeheartedly. I put it right there in the middle. Again, 3.5 body slams, if that's how we're going to rate them here. Everything you said is exactly what I thought too, is that it just seemed like there was not a lot of buildup, but yet, when push came to shove, I was entertained. And that's the bottom line. Ran?
Exactly. That's
yeah.
That's I like the idea. I like the idea, though, of the two different night. That'd be something a little bit different. Yeah, but then that's a four-night extravaganza, but you could still do that. NXT on a Thursday night would be amazing.
Hall of Fame Friday, then you do Mania Part 1 Saturday, Mania Part 2 Sunday, and there
maybe
you go.
Maybe in different cities.
You know, yeah.
Like they did WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was going to say, WrestleMania.
That was three cities.
Yeah, it was. It was Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago. Yeah.
Chicago.
And I think, literally, there was only 4 matches, I think, on each one of those, you know.
That was venues. Early days of closed circuit,
yeah.
Closed circuit television. Yeah. Go to the movie theater to watch that.
Yeah, and I think,
just don't sit behind Pee Wee Herman.
I think also, too, Crockett's did something like that, too. If I remember, one of the Starcades was three different venues as well. One in the Carolinas, one in Atlanta, and Baltimore. Yeah, and I think that. So you could certainly do that. That would be a freaking amazing, man, if they did it that way.
I'm just thinking of the people that you could bring. So you get a larger gate. Because they could literally put it at places that housed 100,000 people in each venue.
Yeah.
So you could literally do. So now you've doubled your gate.
Yeah.
Sign us, Vince. We're looking for jobs, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it right now. We're going to see WrestleMania in Las Vegas, that new stadium, within 5 years.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That's going to happen.
Sign me up.
But what about Vancouver? I mean, because everybody's been clamoring for them to go to Vancouver.
I see that sign.
Shit, you see it for the last 5 WrestleManias, you've seen that sign. So,
why not Columbus, Ohio?
Yes,
right. I have talked to the guy who works at the Horseshoe in charge of special events. He is a wrestling fan. He said we're never going to get Mania, but he's trying for SummerSlam.
Really?
And that would just make perfect sense. We have some local radio people saying they're the ones that are going to try for it right after Mania. I've been talking about this forever. We have the perfect setup. You could do the big SummerSlam. You could do that at Ohio Stadium. We have St. John. You could do NXT. You could do Raw at Schottenstein. You could do SmackDown at Nationwide. You could spread it out everywhere. And just think of the indie shows that would pop up around here.
Oh, my goodness.
Like there's plenty of venues. Like, oh, my God. Like, there definitely needs to be a push for that.
Somebody, maybe ROH, could do Clipper Stadium.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Or Express, where there always are, you know.
Yeah.
So let's real quickly just go over TakeOver. I'll admit, full disclosure, I did not get a chance to watch it.
Go fuck yourself. I say that because it was a good show. If you call yourself a fan, you WCCW fucking Mark.
And what would he use to go fuck himself?
Probably this microphone.
But when did you say strap on again?
Oh, you said it that time. I don't need to.
Okay. Anyways, well, I'm sorry.
Parental advisory.
Anyways, thanks. That's yes. The warning.
I'm a little hostile still. I had some words with one of our friends today about some stuff. So.
Well, anyways, let's go over the takeover card as I try to get this back on track. So the War Raiders defeated Black Ricochet.
Hold on. Is this the War Raiders or the Viking Experience?
This is the War Raiders. Now, let's
throw this out there. If they would have came out in blackface, would it be the Ebony Viking Experience?
Ooh, and that would have been very controversial.
And if they never win the title, they could be the Minnesota Viking Experience.
We got there jokes. Velveteen Dream defeated Matt Riddle. Walter defeated Pete Dunne.
Can I just speak?
Yeah, go ahead. Throw in
your enjoyed the Velveteen Dream Matt Riddle match. It told a good story, and I'm not a big Riddle fan. We've talked about that. Let's keep this really fast. It was a solid match.
Cool. Shayna Baszler defeated Zayn Belair in Shirai.
Wasn't feeling that match at all. Wasn't in the women's match. You mentioned the Walter Pete Dunne match. Yeah. Holy hell. They beat the piss out of each other.
This is why I need to go back and watch it, because I really wanted to see that match.
And I really wanted to see Pete Dunne be elevated during the shakeup, and he didn't, and it really annoyed me.
All right. Well, we'll get to the shakeup here in a minute. And Johnny Gargano is now the champ as he defeated Adam Cole.
And I know you're a huge fan of that.
Look, like I said, I feel like they should give certainly him the chance, since they've been putting so much momentum behind him. And, you know, I know we spent so much time on the Ciampa-Gargano feud, and now that's on pause for a very long time.
But just how cool is this? You have an Ohio guy as the NXT champ.
Yeah.
But both of those guys came in, like, weren't they, like, on a two-week contract as enhancement talent?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think they had a contract. They said, hey, just show up, and they worked some shows. And now both of them have been their world champion. That's pretty cool. That's a lot of hard work and dedication.
That is.
You got to give them props for that, for sure.
So the Superstar Shakeup took place this past week. So let's talk about Raw and who's moving to Raw. AJ Styles, The Miz, Ricochet, Zelina Vega, along with Andrade, The Usos, EC3, Eric Young, Cedric Alexander, Naomi, Lacey, Rey Mysterio, Aleister Black, and of course, the Viking Experience. Anybody benefit from this, you know, from the shakeup? Who do you think benefits most out of that list of folks?
Well, across the board, there's a lot of interesting matchups I think you can get from some of these. Like, I would like to see a Cedric Alexander AJ Styles match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'd like to see Cedric work with some of these guys. I'm very excited. But what that did is it robbed us, because of Daniel Bryan's injury, of more of a Daniel Bryan-AJ Styles feud, which I think might have been on the horizon to keep them going without having titles on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it did kind of rob us of that. The Miz obviously staying so he could stay on USA, because his show's on USA, and it makes sense with that. But like I said, I think the big winner, and a lot of people aren't talking about it, is Cedric Alexander. Another person, I think Andrade is a big winner with this, too.
Well, and I hope we go back to Rey Mysterio versus Andrade. Now they're still on the same brand. There's no excuse now to give us those awesome matches.
Give us a Rey Mysterio-Seth Rollins match.
True.
I think that would be great. And then as we look down the card, a lot of people have been crapping on, and I'm one of them because I hate to see him break up Sanity, but Eric Young, even though he's older, he's solid. It's good to see him maybe get a rub as a singles run. Maybe they'll do something with him with now the U.S. title going over, which you didn't bring that up. Samoa Joe is on Raw. It has been confirmed through other outlets they'll probably bring it out on, do it on Raw, but he was sick this past week, so they just didn't say what was going on.
And I actually had that as a footnote, that he will be probably heading to Raw this Monday, if indeed he is 100% healthy.
I think down the line, what I'm looking forward to is an AJ Seth Rollins match.
That's definitely an obvious one. That's definitely going to happen.
That's going to be something big. That'll either be SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Now let's talk about SmackDown. Those folks going to SmackDown. Elias, Roman Reigns, Finn Balor, Bayley, Liv Morgan, Apollo Crews, Ember Moon, Kari Sane, Lars Sullivan, Buddy Murphy, Chad Gable, and Mickey James.
And Heavy Machinery.
I did not have them on the list, but they are going as well.
Kind of like a... asterisks, and it's almost like we forgot to move them because they were one of the NXT guys that were trying to find a spot.
So it's like winning an award, but not on the TV show.
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly how they did that. A lot of stuff's obvious for obvious reasons. I mean, Roman, you're going to get in the Fox deal. You want to take Roman over there.
Sure.
And I think it allows for some other people to shine. I'm really surprised Strowman didn't go over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
I thought that would have been.
He needs something. We just bitched about it like 20 minutes ago. He needs something fresh, so why not? Yeah.
I would like to. I would rather seen him than Elias, but I think somebody like Elias can benefit from this too.
He's the one I circled because I think Elias is now going to get the push that he deserves. I think that we're going to still see the interruptions all the time because that's his shtick. He's correct. Always going to be interrupted. But I think, man, I think that we're finally going to see him start moving up that ladder. You know,
at least he's being interrupted by better people than he had been.
True.
The Undertaker and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that's true.
And John Cena.
And John Cena.
He's been interrupted by Jeff Jarrett's pretty freaking cool.
I'm also glad that Lars Sullivan finally found a home since we've been doing this for weeks and weeks and weeks as to...
Months,
as to where he's going to be, along with Lacey Evans as well, too. And EC3 for that matter. Buddy Murphy. Now, we alluded to it a little bit. Joe, what's your thought on Buddy Murphy's move to SmackDown?
I'm anxious to see how he fits in with the regular roster, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of interesting matchups. So, you know, when he was doing the tag team thing in NXT, when Alexa was mm-hmm. their manager, I enjoyed watching them do their deal. Now he's got a chance to shine on SmackDown, and I think that it's going to be... That middle of the card... is going to be interesting to see how everybody mm-hmm. falls in place. Obviously, Finn Balor's up in the upper level, but just how people are going to fall under that. Because you got Roman up there. Obviously, you have Kofi up there because he has a championship. Daniel Bryan. So he's going to float under that top five.
And I think Chad Gable will be one that will be in that middle top section. I think
I agree. Chad Gable, Finn Balor feud or match would be wonderful.
Yeah, it would be excellent.
Over the IC title.
I'm going to be curious. It's going to be curious for me to see where Paige winds up, what she's going to wind up doing. It looks like she's going to be a manager for women's tag teams.
Yeah, they kind of, to be honest with you, I don't know what to make of it, honestly.
Such a thing as a women's division manager? I mean,
general manager? They've done it before, haven't they?
Yeah, I see that, but it looks like she's going to be the, leave it to the WWE to kind of come off racist, and she's going to be the mouthpiece for the ladies from Japan. So that she'll probably do all the talking for them.
Which, this is kind of a little bit bizarre, because wasn't Kairi Sane already with that Shirai lady down in NXT as a tag team? So we just...
They were the Sky Pirates.
They were the Sky Pirates. Thank you. I couldn't remember their name. So we just take out one Asian woman and put in a different Asian woman? That's not racist at all, Vince?
That's Vince McMahon.
Is it Vince McMahon or Vince McMahon understanding his audience?
No, he doesn't understand it, because if he did, he would never have come up with the phrase Viking experience.
He don't want the name War in anything. That's what it comes down to. He got to keep the sponsors happy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's where we're at right now. Like, you got to keep these people happy. I think
it's marketing or branding.
You couldn't come up with anything else. You couldn't go to the computer and open up Google and go, words, Viking words, you know, and just come up with some type of synonym for it.
I agree, but then they just bet back Igor or whatever that was.
Yeah, whatever the one, yeah. Man.
So well, here's one thing that's interesting, though. You go back to the Raw. So you got the War Raiders, I'm still going to call them that. You got them coming up. Mm-hmm. Well, it's called War Machine. Let's just do that, whatever. You have them coming up. Is Aleister Black and Ricochet still going to be a tag team?
That's a good question. I don't know.
What are you going to do with the Authors of Pain when he comes back?
I was asking that because I'll be honest. I was...
And you have the Revival and you have the tag straps on Ryder and Hawkins. And you have the Usos there now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you got, I think, some things that push got to come to shove. And I think you got to break up Ricochet and Black. Lickety split.
Yeah. You know what?
They didn't seem like a natural tag team to me.
No, and the funny part was, I think it was Lars Sullivan when he was on Raw, like when he came out, I wasn't in the living room, I was in the back in the office, and I heard the music, I'm like, AOP's back? Because it kind of sounds the same, and I came out here, I'm like, oh no, it's just that blockhead Lars Sullivan, never mind. So, but yeah, AOP, that, which one's injured again? Is it Occam or Rezar or... I don't remember. One of them is
something
injured.
Something makes me sound like I'm clearing my throat.
Right, yes. Yeah. I agree. So it's going to be interesting to see where things go from here. I'm going to throw out one thing about Lars Sullivan. I would really think that guy needs a mouthpiece. He needs a manager. And I would love to see I don't know what his name is in NXT.
Brady West.
No.
Oh.
Stokely Hathaway be his manager.
I would rather, yeah, or what they should have done is they should have brought AOP over to SmackDown.
Okay.
And Maverick.
Jake Maverick, okay.
Blake Maverick, break whatever. Maverick, whatever his name is nowadays. The one that had to tell everybody, let's go on with the Hall of Fame, like we're going to listen to your small ass. But I think he does a great mouthpiece with AOP because he gets beat up, he's small. Yeah. And they try to test that with EC3 for a minute. That would have been logical to me.
Okay.
And then have like almost like this all these monsters with the little guy, which would have been, you know, kind of cool. It almost been like a throwback to like a Heenan family of all these big guys with somebody. So not that I'm saying that Maverick, whatever his name is Drake, anything like Drake Heenan. Maverick? Drake Maverick. That's it.
Drake Maverick.
I want to say Maverick Carter. That's the guy that handles business for LeBron. But so, yeah. So maybe they end up on SmackDown when he comes back or
maybe,
something. But
maybe.
I agree with you. He needs a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Is Lars Sullivan worthy of Paul Heyman?
I would say yeah. I could. I think there's potential for Lars Sullivan. They just got to fine tune it. Like, he reminds me, and again, because I'm the WCCW mark, he reminds me of Mark Lewin.
I can see that.
You know, he's batshit crazy and he goes out and destroys people, but he needs somebody there. He needs that Gary Hart, who's not obviously around anymore, but he needs that type of a manager to help kind of, quote, control him, end quote.
Well, is he more geared towards Dave Sullivan or Kevin Sullivan?
Kevin Sullivan.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I just want to throw those names out there. E-man.
So let's talk a little bit, if we can, DJ Joey Blaze. You and I were at Masters of the Craft this past weekend. Ring of Honor came to town. What did you think of the show?
I was very impressed.
I was too. I think it was one of the better Ring of Honor shows I've seen recently.
Something was brought up. I think the Rugby Thug. Okay. I'm going to throw his name out there. Comment on something. He commented on something.
And I agree with what he commented on.
So you know what
totally,
I know what
you're going to say.
They lost all the star power, but they still had the go in the show. And that's not exactly. I'm not quoting him exactly, but that's kind of the basis of it. I mean, it was from boom, 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 each match. You know, even though it was a soft crowd, I wish there had been more asses in seats, which there should have been. Shame on you, Columbus, Ohio. But it was a solid card.
I agree. It was solid. I think this is my concern for Ring of Honor is exactly what Rugby Thug mentioned. The big stars have moved on, and they haven't built any other new stars. And I feel we are right now at a point in Ring of Honor's history where the Briscoes have done it all. I don't know if anybody gives a shit if they have another title run. Jay Lethal has done it all. I don't know if anybody gives a shit if Jay Lethal gets another run. That leaves you with who? That leaves you with Dalton Castle, okay?
Who's good. Doesn't carry the card.
Right. And they're trying to turn him heel and no one's buying it. So there's a problem. I don't get it. Here's the controversial take from me. I don't get Matt Taven. I don't see why Matt Taven is the ROH champion. He is a solid middle upper card guy. He's solid as that secondary. Love him with the Kingdom because that's the best like incarnation of Matt Taven. But I don't think he's title main event worthy.
He's not standalone at all.
No.
And when you have somebody that's in a clique, and they're going to put a strap on him, and no offense to him at all.
Sure.
He's talent, but to stand out and be that guy. Because every time you have a clip, you still have that guy. If you have the strap around him, he's going to stand out. Four Horsemen, you knew it was Flair.
Right.
Those guys are like,
they're all the same. They're equals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand out. And obviously now when they fought, which was Villain Enterprises, you saw the pecking order there with those three. So you know who was the star, who was in secondary guy. That's why, hey, put the strap on PCO. What do you have to lose?
Well, you know, we're at a point, too, where Marty Scurll's contract is coming up soon. There hasn't been any negotiation. And I think he right now is the standout main eventer in that company right now that hasn't received a title shot or, excuse me, a title run. Other than that, the only other person, like, I guess if I was in charge of Ring of Honor, the only other two people I could think of that have that main event status, Bully Ray and Nick Aldis.
And Bully Ray's more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to do something. Roosh, I'm not buying whatsoever. I think that match was the worst match of the card.
Agreed.
Because I don't see why everybody's, you know, all up in arms over Roosh.
I can see the buzz behind Bandito, but he's all pop. He's all boom, boom, boom. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, it's important, but it's not. There's not the extra.
Right. Same Flip Gordon, hell of an athlete.
And they're pushing him to the moon, it seems.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, but I don't know that he's at upper level main event. I think right now Ring of Honor has a cluster of really talented, super athletic, fantastic athletes and workers, but they don't have that next level person. And that's what I think that they're missing. They got to start building that.
So this is kind of controversial, especially with a lot of people and some of my friends. So you think, is that one of the reasons why they reached out with this Enzo and Kaz XL to invade, was because those are the guys, but those are the charismatic guys. They don't have those mic guys that, I mean.
No, you're right. You're right. That is something else they're missing because, you know, when you, again.
I mean, you still have Boom Boom, but he's old. Like.
Yeah, you go back to the guys that okay, Lethal, Briscoes, Castle, Colt Cabana, that could cut promos. Really good promos, like over the top promos. Bully Ray, even though he's part time, you could throw him in there, but then that's it. Then it drops off. And there's other. I mean, you know, look, Jeff Cobb is a fucking phenomenal athlete. He
impressed me a ton. Yeah. I wasn't super familiar with his work.
But I don't know if his promos are that. Like, I've seen some of his promos. They're not that great. I'm sorry to say that. You know, that Brody King character, I've never seen him work. God damn, he is fantastic.
Agreed.
Bam Bam Bigelow-like, if you want to say. Because he's a big dude that you go, this guy's not. Holy shit, he's flying around that ring like he's Psychosis. But again, I don't think he's got those mic skills either. So, I don't know, man. They're in a weird spot right now.
But even though they're in that weird spot, it was a fantastic show.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Right. Yeah. I had a blast, man.
Do you think it's a good show in person that doesn't translate to TV because of the mic skills?
No, I don't think that. I think that
I think Ring of Honor has always had a hard time translating to TV, in my opinion.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just because they don't have the production value, even though now they have some extra money behind them. With being who they're with now, but still, it's always been something that's kind of like I had such a great experience with the show that I watched the TV show. And I'm like, eh,
yeah, no, I get you.
Like, and I love the Luchasaurus. That's a cool gimmick, right? He comes out, it's a crazy look. I'm like, this is kind of playing with my buttons. And I watched. I'm like, oh, so I think it might be ran a perfect, great point there. Like, it's kind of one of those things where they have all the dynamite at the show, but they don't have enough when it comes to production.
And I think, too, when you look at their, if you look at their live event schedule and you watch the TV show, you realize they're several, several weeks behind.
Yeah.
You know, they're showing you shit from 3 or 4 weeks ago that, you know, they need to pick up the pace. I think you should, I mean, ideally, you should be a week behind. You know what I mean? What you're presenting on TV is what happened last week. And you know what I mean? Like, especially in this day and age where there's so much content everywhere, I think that if you're still in that 1990s model of, hey, this happened 3 weeks ago in North Carolina, you know, I don't know.
Most of the backstage scenes on SmackDown or Raw come across as hokey,
mm-hmm.
but they're used to continue storylines. Sure. Do you think Ring of Honor would benefit from something other than the camera on the ring?
Well, I don't know. That's a very good point. I don't know. I think they've tried that in the past, and it just hasn't worked. And
TNA's tried that. Oh my God, they've done some terrible stuff. So I think it's a little bit of everything with that.
Back to Enzo and Cass, though. Okay, Cass is pretty decent in the ring. I will give him that. I think the guy's got some skill. Enzo has none. We all know that. His is his gift of gab and his high opinion of himself.
Agreed. Okay,
I think the backlash from the Ring of Honor faithful, especially with Enzo being there, I think is not worth bringing them in, personally. I just feel like that's not...
Well, my whole thing was, I just threw that out there because I was talking about them today with somebody, but just because you talk about lacking that entertainment.
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Enzo's a perfect manager. Like, they don't know why anybody's ever really used him totally like that.
Right. I don't know. I think that, like I said, Ring of Honor really has got to really think and cultivate some of that talent and get it up there.
But it's out there. They just need to go find it and grab it.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And they usually do a decent job. So, like I said, their live show was just amazing. If they keep putting out great live shows, I think everything will fall in place for them for sure.
Sure. All right, with that, we're getting up to about 58 minutes, so let's start wrapping things up. DJ Joey Blaze, where can you be found on the interwebs?
The Reverend DJ Joey Blaze. Now, today is my 1-month anniversary.
Of being a reverend.
Of being ordained. So mm-hmm. I'm very excited for that.
In your opinion, who would Jesus destroy?
See, that's a tough one. And I'd almost consider sorcerers and drug dealers to be the same.
Sorcerers and druggies, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's okay. Who you'd probably destroy. But you can find me at DJ Joey Blaze. And we could talk further on who would Jesus destroy? WWJD.
And for folks that and listening at home, that was just a little inside joke. We were handed a postcard from a young man outside the Ring of Honor venue, in which I thought it was going to be like free passes to a concert or something, and here it was. It was a postcard telling us who Jesus will destroy.
And sorcerers and drug dealers are right there next to each other.
They are. They're grouped together for some odd reason. Why? Amazing. I don't know. Rand, enough you know Jesus any, talk.
You know any sorcerers or drug dealers? Or maybe they're both at the same time?
No, I know none of either.
Have you fought a sorcerer? Okay, that's this. The bigger question.
No.
Rand, where can people find you on the internet?
I am right there on Twitter, at Rand Dittmar.
There you go. All right, gentlemen, it's been fun, man.
It was a good time.
All right, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and yours truly discussing what went down at WrestleMania 35 and kind of what's been going on over the last couple of weeks in the WWE. We were given all of our opinions and thoughts and everything there. And maybe you'd like to share your opinion with yours truly about what you've just heard. Well, let me tell you how you can get in touch with me. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And you can even leave me a message on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/pvdcast. And as you well know, but maybe some other folks don't know, you can get this podcast a variety of different places. You can get it at the online home of yours truly, pvdcast.com. But it's also available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network, basically anywhere where you find podcasts. All you have to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put in my name, PVDcast John Orlando, and whammo, it'll be right there for you. And help spread the word. And don't forget to rate, don't forget to review, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Do all of those things. And in fact, even tell folks, whether it's at work or whether it's at church or whether it's wherever you are, tell folks that they need to check out the PVDcast. I will appreciate it so much if we can keep moving those numbers up, man. So before I wrap up here, I do have to thank one final sponsor, and that, of course, is the fine folks at Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. So don't delay. To download your free audiobook today, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening. I'm going to get on out of here, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. And stay righteous, and stay independent.